It's an honor and privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. And good to see friends. Haven't seen in a while, and it is an amazing thing to preach to two different wings. I've never done that before, so I don't know which way to look.
We're the right way.
Okay, the right way, okay. Pharisees, Sadducees, what? You're getting this on tape, right? But it is good to be here. And I covet your prayers. I covet your prayers that as I preach, I pray you'd pray for me. And that for yourselves, that God would comfort you, that God would strengthen you, that Christ would be magnified and honored. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 48. Psalm 48, we'll look at the first three verses this evening, the Lord willing. I've entitled this, The Great God and a Great Situation. A Great God and a Great Situation. The Scripture says, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King, God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Now the prophet here desires to set forth the beautiful situation of his people, of God's people. The beautiful situation, later on he says in verse 13, Mark well her bulwark, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generations following. He is wanting to set forth the safety and the security of God's great city, of God's church. But in order to do that, he must first cast his eye upon the greatness of God. Amen. Believer, there is no safety and security without a great God. Without our God, there is no security. He is the founder. He is the maker. He is the defender and the sustainer of this city. And this city, we'll see, is a literal Jerusalem. It is talking about the literal Jerusalem, but more importantly, this is speaking of spiritual Jerusalem, that Jerusalem that John mentions in Revelation, that city that came down from heaven, whose builder and maker is God, that city in whom was no sin, whose walls were four square, perfect in every way. And the most important thing about this city is God dwelt in the midst of her. And she worshiped Him. This is the city of God. This beautiful city. What a beautiful situation. What a beautiful place is this city. Now then, so then, we who are believers, I want you to see that this city is you. You are the city of God. We all make up this city, this heavenly Jerusalem. And therefore, I desire, it is my intent by the Holy Spirit then tonight to show you your safety. To show you how secure you are in your great God. Your great God. Amen. Now listen, our city, this salvation, this city of Jerusalem is only as great as our God. We're only as safe as our God can make us. Our God has... He's designed this city. He's purchased it. He's built it. Our God is greater than all men. Our God is greater than all false gods. Because our God, in the very essence of His nature, is this. Great. Great is our God. And that's how the psalmist begins. He begins with an essential truth. A self-evident truth. Great is Jehovah. That's just self-evident, isn't it? It's just reasonable. To us who know Him, it is the most obvious thing in the world. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, Jehovah. I want you to behold the greatness of our God in the essence of His person, in His power. Consider His power. How great is His power? Isaiah said this, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" You imagine that? He measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. He spanned the heavens as you would open a curtain. He spanned the heavens. Power. Absolute power. He said, "Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as a small dust in the balance." All nations are as nothing to Him. How great. They are counted as less than nothing in vanity. So then, whom shall you liken God? You know, they're trying to make God out of little bitty idols. And he said, how are you going to liken God to a little bitty idol? That's not God. No, God is great. And look at the sun. Every morning it comes up in the same place, runs its course and sits in the same place. See the stars and the moon? Who holds these things in His hand? These things move according to His Word. The only reason the sun and the stars exist is by His continual power. Amen. He didn't hang them out there and leave them. No, without Him, they couldn't even be. They couldn't even maintain their being. Now, all men know this, there is a God, but because of spiritual blindness, because of the ruined nature of man, they liken God to be like themselves. They think men by nature think God much like himself. And I'm going to tell you this, we're not great at all. And if a man thinks God's like himself, his God's not great at all. He's not great at all. The God of this generation, one man said, no more resembles the God of Holy Scripture than a candle resembles a noonday sun. The God of this generation is not great. He's not worthy to be praised. For He is a God altogether like His worshipers. The God of this generation is supposed to have created the world, supposed to have made salvation possible, but either lacks the will or the power to do it. And such is the false God we know of free will works religion. He's not great. Matter of fact, God, the God of free will works religion is to be pitied, mocked. He's worthless. He's useless. He's not great. He's not great at all. But I'm not here to talk about that God. I want to talk about the great God of Zion, the only true and living God who is greatly to be praised, because our God is omnipotent in power. Our God is absolutely, completely sovereign in every aspect of His character and His providence. He does exactly according to His will in everything. Amen. You realize nothing's running amok? Nothing? Everything is moving exactly determined as God determined before the world began to move. The wheels of providence move straight forward. They don't turn to the right. They don't move to the left. And listen, you look at the spokes of providence, you're going to get dizzy. You ever seen a wheel spin? You look at the spokes, you get dizzy. You look at God's providence and try to trace it back to Him, you'll get dizzy. Don't worry about that. Just know everything's well. Everything's well. Our great God is omnipotent in power. Our God is great. Jehovah is great in power and His creation. Yet I tell you this, there's only one group of people that praise Him. The city of our God. Isn't that what our text says? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Where? In the city of our God. Even because we who are the city of God have seen and witnessed His greatness. I'm here to testify of something I know. I don't like to preach anything I don't know. I know this, God is great. Now I can't tell you how great. I can't get that high. Because whatever you think great is, God is infinitely greater than that. Amen. So what do? You just, we'll wade out in the water a little bit and swim around a little bit in God's greatness just a minute. Because we know some things about His greatness. First of all, we know God is great in holiness, isn't He? God is holy. Holy. Angels, every single moment of every day cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy. What is it to be holy? It means that God is absolutely, completely spotless and perfect in every attribute, in every characteristic. He is perfect. By nature, he is holy and pure and sinless. Have you ever considered the standard of God? What is God's standard for man? What does he require of you? What does he require of me to enter into his presence? To be accepted? I'll tell you what, that's what I want to know. I need to be accepted of God. Amen. Everybody in this building, you need to be accepted. And there's not a way you can be accepted in yourself. If you know anything at all about his holiness, you know this, you can't be accepted in yourself. Amen. God is absolutely perfect and justice and holy and righteous. And every spot, every sin of iniquity shall be forever punished. It must be. God is holy. God is just, and he must punish sin. We know this. We know he's great in power also. That means this: no man could escape him. I tell you what, men running from God. Men run from God today. They're just naturally, it's natural. Didn't Adam run from God? First thing he did, he heard God, he ran. Men run from God. You run as far, run as long, run as fast as you can. God will catch you.
That's right.
He will. He's going to get you. Matter of fact, he's just letting you run. You're only running because he's letting you.
That's right.
But you ain't getting very far. You're like the hamster in the wheel. You just run into your own death. I had a sniper friend in Desert Storm. He said, they may run, they'll just die tired. That's right. You'll just die tired. Men run around in the vanity of their works, running in religion, trying to be accepted. All the while thinking, God's going to accept me because I'm sincere. How many times you heard that? Well, I'm just sincere.
Yeah.
That and your sin will get you hell.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Amen.
Nothing else. Men run around trying to be accepted, thinking God will accept their works. They don't know, have any clue of who God is, of his greatness. I desire you not to see how holy God is because of one thing. If you ever see how holy God is, you'll see this, how sinful you really are.
Amen.
The more I grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, the more I see his holiness, you know, the more I see my sin.
Yes.
I ain't ever lost sight of that, have you? Man see his sin. We know then our impotence. We know his greatness, but we know our worthlessness when we see God as he is. The worthlessness of our works, the sincerity of our religion is empty. It's vain. It won't ever help. We know this, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not only this. It's not that I know all men have sinned. I know this. I have sinned.
Amen.
Depravity is not a doctrine to be learned. It is something we experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know depravity because I know me. God showed me. When he showed me himself, he showed me my depraved nature. But I'm here to tell you there's hope. I wouldn't be here if there wasn't. It would no sense. If that's it, I'd close the book. I wouldn't even stood up and told you that. But there is hope. There is mercy because God is not only holy, he's not only powerful, he's not only sovereign, he is merciful.
Amen.
And just as he is holy, he is also merciful.
Amen.
How can God be just and justify the ungodly? It's a miracle, isn't it? It's something man cannot ever put together. God does. God does. And we see the mercy of love and of God only in one place. His Son.
Yes.
You ever going to find out if God loves you? It's going to be in his Son. You know his Son, you'll know that. God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Is that not an astounding thing? A holy God who is just yet merciful sends his Son into the world to save one class of people. One group of people. Sinners.
Amen.
Sinners. Those that have no goodness. Those that have no merit. Those who cannot and will not ever be able to please or satisfy the justice of God. That's the ones Christ came to save. He came to save sinners. I'm going to ask you, is this you? Do you know those things? Do you know the holiness of God, the justice of God, the greatness of God? Do you know yourself? Do you know God's goodness and mercy? Do you know you're incapable of meriting His favor by any works of religion? Then there's one message for you, and that's the greatness of His salvation. The greatness of His salvation. If there's any hope for safety and security, any hope of acceptance, it rests in the greatness of God's salvation. And this salvation is by one Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, for He alone has accomplished salvation. This separates true religion from false, isn't it? Accomplished salvation. Finished salvation. That's the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is great because it is done. That's a good thing for a sinner who can't do anything. This is a message for people who are impotent, can't do anything, won't do anything. This message for you. I'm showing you a Savior that's done it all. He's accomplished salvation for all His people. Now, in all religion, you know, there's religions, always false religion is always a copycat of the true, isn't it? It's always a counterfeit. In every religion, there's always a priest. You know that? You ever seen that? You read history and religion, there's always a priest. There's always somebody mediating. There's always a sacrifice. There's always a sacrifice for all. You know what the difference between true and false religion is? False religion, their priests are never finished. Their sacrifices are never sufficient. They're never sufficient. Which shows us the vanity and weakness of their God to save. It shows the uselessness of their priest to intercede because they're always working. Therefore, they must continue to work and are never finished with their worship. This is even true of the Jewish religion, isn't it? That religion that God appointed. Those priests, God appointed those priests, and God ordained those sacrifices. But yet we know this, that those sacrifices never removed sin. Those priests even were never finished. Why? Because those priests were only a picture. They were only a type of the true high priest, the great high priest, Paul calls him. Those sacrifices were only a picture of the great sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The greatness of His salvation. This is the greatness of His salvation. The greatness of His mercy displayed. Hebrews chapter 9. And look at verse 6. He said, "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God." See, they were ordained. They accomplished the service of God. "But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying by this, that the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing." Which was what? A figure. It was only a figure. That's it. That was its purpose. "For a time, then present, in which they offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect." It didn't make those priests perfect, and it didn't make the worshipers perfect, "as pertaining to their conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation." Here it is. "But Christ being come on high priest." Being come. Now this is the high priest. The only one that matters. No other priest matters. No other priest matters. This is the only one. He became. He was that was ordained of the great God to be the great high priest. He is now come on high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. What's that? It's His body. What a wonderful tabernacle. His body is better than that building over there. But neither by the blood of goats or calves, or by his own blood, he entered into once into the holy place. And what did he do? What did he do? Having obtained.
Amen.
This is very deep. Here, I'm going to give you a definition. Very deep. He got it. He got it. He done it. It's done. It's finished. Salvation accomplished. Mission accomplished. Amen. Work done. Father, I have finished the work thou gave me to do. Amen. Ain't clearer than that. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. It's done.
Amen.
It's done. The great high priest in the greatness of his sacrifice redeemed us. Redeemed us. With what kind of redemption? Partial? Temporal? Eternal redemption.
Amen.
Now, when does eternal redemption begin? It has never had a beginning, did it? That lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. It was accomplished in time. It was made manifest in time. But it was always done. In the eyes of God, it was done. It was done before it was done. And then it was done. And now I just see it's done. Now by grace of God I see it's done. So now then, this sacrifice, this salvation, it was a type, but this city now, this city that praises God is also a type. This is a type of those who are born again of the Spirit of God. These are the ones that actually praise God. You who believe in Jesus Christ, I know this, you want to praise Him.
Amen.
And then you bow your head and say, when you never did in yourself. You always did in Christ.
Amen.
He read it a minute ago. I waited patiently for the Lord. When did you ever wait patiently for the Lord? I did it when He did it. I did it when He did it. That's the only way that can be effectual. That whole scripture can be effectual to me only as I'm in Him. Only as He's my representative. This is this great city. They are the only one that praises God. Now, as you see this city of Jerusalem, the prophet here desires you to see the safety and security of all who are in this great God. All who are in the midst of this great God, who serve this great God. He desires you to see Jerusalem. Now, if you were to walk up to Jerusalem at this time, you would have to, standing underneath, you would be looking up at Jerusalem. Jerusalem was high. It was lifted up. And that's what that word situation means. It is a beautiful for elevation. It is high. Now, a city in that day, that was a key factor of safety. You didn't want a city in a plain. You didn't want it in a valley. You wanted it high because that's the arrows where the catapult, those things that could go over the city. You needed something safe. And that was only in a high city. Jerusalem here is this high and elevated city. Now listen, you who believe in Christ, I want you to see this. As Jerusalem was surrounded naturally by mountains, it was a natural fortress, impenetrable fortress, this city of Zion. There was only really one way in and one way out. And he says it, in verse 2, he says the sides of the north. That's the only way in and out. If you'd have come to that city, you'd see on the sides of the north these bulwarks and these defensive man-made structures and an entryway. This was the only way in and out of this city, is in the sides of the north. And this is to show us that the city of God, those who are in Christ, I want you to see your surety, the safety of you who are in Christ. Look at this second part of those who are the city of God. He says, in the mountain of His holiness. In the mountain of His holiness. As those mountains surrounded Jerusalem, I want you to know this. The righteousness of Christ surrounds you.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he came as our federal head to obtain righteousness for his people. And as those mountains surrounded and protected them from all their enemies, even so the righteousness of Christ envelops us and surrounds us. These mountains, they were high mountains. They were mountains that they're used to show their size and immutability. Don't you realize this, that this righteousness that Christ has procured for his city is immutable? It's immutable. It's unchangeable. This is good for me because I can't foul it. I can't taint it with my sin. It surrounds me. It envelops me. It protects me from what? Wrath of God. It protects me from all the enemies of the church. All of my enemies. My flesh. The world. Satan are those kings in this text that surround Jerusalem, casting their arrows, but they can't reach over these mountains. The mountain of his holiness. Don't you know this, that you have his name? In Jeremiah, it says, he in that day, he shall be called what? Jehovah Titzkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And down in chapter 33 of 16 of Jeremiah, it says this, and they that shall be saved, they shall be called, she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Amen. Don't you know this? God requires you to be holy.
Amen.
And you are holy. Oh God, let's get a hold of that. And you just sit down and just breathe. You can rest in that, can't you? You can kick your feet up in that. Why, you're surrounded by his righteousness. The mountains of his holiness surround you. Look at this. You have a beautiful situation. You have a beautiful situation. Believer, you have a beautiful standing before God. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. You know why you have a beautiful situation? Because you're sitting in him.
Amen.
Can you get any higher? And if you're that high, who can reach you? Jesus said, no man can pluck them out of my hands. That's as though he dared. He said, my sheep, you see, feeds them where? In the midst of their enemies. As though he puts the sheep out in the middle, there's wolves all around. He said, try it. I dare you. Yeah. He ain't getting to them. Oh, he ain't getting to you. You're in the mountains of his holiness. You have a beautiful situation. And you know this, you're the joy of the whole earth.
Amen.
I don't feel that way, do you? If you're the joy of the whole earth, why ain't everybody here, huh? Is that what you said? No, I didn't mean it that way. You're going to be hated. You're going to be despised. Your gospel is hated. Christ was hated. You will be too. That's not what it means. You are the joy of the whole earth because you have the only thing men need. The gospel of Jesus Christ. God has given us this treasure where? In earthen vessels. He set this light on a hill. And your light. And just because they're blind. Doesn't diminish the light. Doesn't negate our responsibility to be the light. And what are you when men see the light? Are you not the joy of the whole earth? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. When you heard the gospel, what did you think of that man when you heard the gospel? Oh, how beautiful his feet. And we say, how beautiful is our Savior. How beautiful is our Savior. You are the joy of the whole earth. And listen, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. What does this mean? As there was only one way in Jerusalem, guess what? There's only one way into glory.
That's right.
Amen. Only one way. You can't climb up. You can't climb under. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me.
Amen.
That's the side of the north. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, he's the side of the north. He's the only way in. His sheep. He calls us by that way, and we come in, and we rejoice. We rejoice in this way. And this is the city of the great King. Friends, you ain't a member of this city unless you've bowed to the King.
Right. That's right. Mm. Right, brother. That's it.
Mm. And no partial members here.
That's right.
You're either subject to this King or you're not. How I wish I could bow lower.
Yeah.
If I could just stay at His feet, how sweet would life be?
Yeah.
He is my King. This is my city.
Yeah.
That's my God. Is that yours? And guess what? It even gets better. He says, known. God is known in her palaces for refuge. Not only is He the foundation of this city, not only is He the walls of this city, He is also the roof.
Amen.
He surrounds you with protection. A refuge. I always think of Noah. I can't help but think of Noah in that red ark. You know, Noah endured the justice of God just like everybody else. He suffered under the justice of God just like everybody else. It's just that the ark took the blow. Ark took the blow. Christ took the blow. And I know that's my God. That's my refuge. I was listening to Darvin, and Darvin said a man was having problems with his assurance. He said, "Brother, I just can't. I'm not assured that of my salvation." And he said, "Well, what do you mean? Are you not sure that Jesus Christ come in the flesh?" "Oh no, no, I'm sure. I'm sure of that." "Well, are you not sure that when He died that He actually satisfied the justice of God?" He said, "Oh no, I'm sure He did that." "Well, you're not sure that He rose again from the dead?" He said, "Oh no, I'm sure He rose from the dead." He said, "Well, what's your why you got no assurance? You trust in that.
Yeah.
Rest in that.
Yeah. Amen.
Great is our God.
Amen.
Greatly to be praised." Where? In the city of Zion, His church. And what a beautiful situation we have.
Yes.
What a beautiful elevation wrapped in His holiness. Firm on the rock of Christ, surrounded by the refuge. Great is our God.